Turn with you to Mark, chapter number 8. I do desire your prayers this morning. I found out 10 minutes before I was leaving, I was preaching. That generally is not a good thing. Mark chapter number 8, verse 22. It says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for the blood that you shed upon Calvary's cross, Lord. God, I thank you for the plan of salvation, Lord. And thank you for saving my soul and making me yours, Lord. Lord, I ask that you'd help us this morning, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just have free course, Father, to take the truths of your word, Lord, and move upon our hearts, Lord. God, do the work that you want done this morning, Lord. God, I pray you'd mold and shape us to be more like you, Father. God, I pray that you'd give us liberty, Lord, that you just use us and touch us, Lord. Father, we acknowledge in our self that we're nothing, that we have no ability, Lord, and God, we're just simply trusting in you this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this familiar text, we see Jesus healing a blind man. And here's what Jesus asked him. After he spits on touching me, he asked him if he saw aught. In verse 23. That word aught means anything. Here's what Jesus is asking this man. Do you see anything? Now, Jesus knows the answer to the question. Before you ever ask him, Jesus knows. So this question is not for Jesus, but it's for this man. And he's saying, do you see anything? And he says, I see men as trees. He had to confess his true condition if he was going to see things clearly. Jesus could have said, do you see anything? And he says, I see. And he could have went on his way right then. But he said, I see men as trees. He confessed, I'm seeing, but not like I should. I've got a distorted view of things. Jesus desired for him to have perfect sight. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because he touched him again. Notice what it says, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, we know this isn't a picture of salvation because salvation is immediate. But what you see right here is you see a progressive work. And I started thinking about our spiritual eyesight. How many times do we not see things clearly? Just as this man, we have a distorted view about things. And you know where we're going to find help? When we'll confess. And if we're honest enough to say, Lord, I'm not seeing things the way I should. That's when you're going to be. That's when that healing's going to take place. But here's what our problem is: we get set in our mind what we think, how we think things should be, how they should go, and we don't want to change. I mean, really, if Jesus will say, "Hey, how are you seeing things this morning?" How many of us would say, "I see everything just fine"? This man got help because here's what he said: "I see ministry. Lord, I'm not seeing clearly. I've got a distorted view of things." How many of us see things differently spiritually than we did the day we got saved? How many of you see things differently than you did 3 or 4 years ago? Do you know why? Because you've been honest enough to just say, I'm wrong. I'm not seeing things right. And so, I started thinking on this. Here's what he's saying. I see men as trees. And here's where my mind went. If he sees men as trees, what kind of tree would I be? If he sees men as trees, what kind of tree would you be? Do you know there's some trees, they just bloom once a year? Did you know there's a lot of God's people? That's about what they do, is they bloom once a year. They come in the church house and you say, boy, they're... Brother so-and-so, God's doing a work in his life. He's really coming on. Then 3 or 4 weeks later, they're gone. You don't see from them. You don't hear from them. 6, 8 months later, you know what they do? They start coming back in. God's doing a work in his life. And he just, as quickly as you begin to see it, they're gone again. You know why? They just bloom once a year. I start thinking, how many of us will be Bradford pears? I had 2 Bradford pears, my friend. Just beautiful trees. Brother Shell, I bought them. I mean, we lived there 15, 16 years. I mean, just grew huge, plenty of shade, just looked pretty from the road. But you know what happens when the storm comes? They're gone. Did you know there's a lot of God's people? They look good and they look like they're so helpful to the church. But you know what? They can't weather the storm. Once the storm comes in their life, you know what? They're gone. They're destroyed. They can't weather the storm. I start thinking about weeping willows. You know what? They're always down. Don't matter if it's sunny outside, raining. Don't matter at all what the conditions are around them. Always the same. Just down. You know, ain't God's people like that? I mean, just it don't matter. Everything can be just be going great. Boy, it's just such a hard battle. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Do you know there's some trees that just never produce fruit? You ever seen a tree? I mean, there's an apple tree and you go over to get something, but there's nothing there. They never produce fruit. Do you know there's a lot of trees just, I mean, you've got the evergreen. Just the same. Don't matter what. It's just the same. Day after day after day. And as my mind started going, so I thought, man, I'm really going to go somewhere with this. But then here's what I realized. I don't know anything about trees. You've right there heard my knowledge of trees right there. And so I started thinking on what I do know. See, when I get the trees on my end of it, you know what I see? I see 2x10s and 2x4s. And I started thinking about oak. You know what? There's nothing stronger than oak. And I started thinking, you know what? If he sees me as trees, and I want to be a tree, you know what? I want to be like an oak tree. But here, once again, is my problem. I don't know nothing about an oak tree. All I know is I can go outside and look at it and get under its shade. And I started just thinking, well, let's just see what the Bible says. You know, that's really the best place to find anything is looking the Word of God. Amen. You know what? Really, it don't. My knowledge and what I think don't mean nothing. And so I started going through the Bible everywhere I found the oak tree. And so that's what I want to do just for a few minutes this morning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35, let me start reading verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. You know what took place under the oak tree? They got rid of their idols. And I started thinking, you know what will happen when you get under the influence of those oaks? Get under the influence of some godly people. It'll cause you to lay aside those idols. It'll cause you those things. Listen. The fact that you might as well be honest, we're not putting on any fronts with nobody. We all struggle with idolatry. There's not one in here that you can tell me that's not a struggle for my life. We may not have the little statues, but every one of us struggle with putting things ahead of God. It is a constant daily battle. There's all the time something in our life that's we're wanting to put in God's place. The time that we should give to Him, we give it to something else. There's not a one of us that God has healed that have not sat down and thought, you know what, I've not read and I've not prayed. But instead of picking up the Bible, we picked up the remote. We've all done it. You know why? Because we've made a little idol out of that thing. We put it ahead of God. But you know what will help you get rid of that? Getting under the influence of some godly people. I'm not talking about getting under the influence of the weeping willows and those briar perverse. I'm talking about getting under the influence of some mighty oaks. It'll cause you to want to lay aside those idols. You know what helped me grow spiritually? Getting around God's people and seeing what was important to them and what they esteemed highly in their life. And you know what it did? It helped me get focused about what I should be esteeming highly in my life. You run with the world's crowd, you know what? You're never going to lay those idols down. In fact, you're just going to get more. You're going to get more and more and more. And before long, you're going to get lost in all of them. Underneath this oak, you know what I see? Under the influence of this oak, I see a man that cleaned his house up. Hey, notice what it says. Verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him. You get around some godly people, and you know what it'll do? It'll clean your house up. You'll see the things in your life that don't need to be there, and you'll get them out. But if you refuse... See, here's the thing. We don't want to get under the influence of godly people. We don't want that shadow over us. We don't want that shadow. We want to do our thing. And you know what? You can do it. But you're never going to grow. Your home's never going to be right. It was under this oak, the shadow of this oak, that they got rid of those idols. You and I, you know what we need? Number one, we need some people that'll be some oaks. We need some people that got enough influence upon their life that when those that are serving us, those that do have stuff in their life that don't do it, when they get around us, you know what? They realize it's not important. We need to get under the influence of some people that's going to help us lay aside these idols. But secondly, turn with Genesis chapter 35, verse number 8. Just a few verses down. The Bible says, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried in Bethel under an oak, and the name was called Lodabaoth. Here's a woman. Now, this was Rebekah's nurse. Hey, she's been with him for a long time. I mean, when Isaac took Rebekah, when she left her father, her nurse went with her. You can go back and look chapter 24, Genesis 24, 59. You know, it was a painful thing, I suppose, when she died that day. I mean, this wasn't a stranger. This is somebody that everybody grew up around. And she's died. And you know, they could have buried her anywhere, Brother Miller. I mean, here they are, they're out in the field. I mean, you could look anywhere. But there was something about that oak that brought peace to them. Said, you know what, let's put her over there. Hey, let's bury her over there. You know what's going to bring peace to the heartache in your life? It's not running to the world. It's not running to what they think. You know where you're going to find it? Under the influence, under the shadow of God's people. You know, that's where you're going to find. You're not going to find peace in the world, but yet we try. We're unhappy. We're heartbroken. We don't like the way things are going with life. And what do? We run to the world. We run to the world. We run away from those godly influences. There was comfort to be found under that oak. And when you're hurting, you know where you need to be? You need to be around God's people. Get around. Because see, when you're hurting, here's the great danger. When you're hurting and you're struggling, you know what the temptation is? Man, you're just going to quit. Hey, there's no point going on. Things ain't going the way we should. I'm heartbroken. And that's when the devil's going to come after you. But you know what? If you can get under the shadow of some godly influences, under God's people that care about you, and love you. You know what they'll do? They'll bring peace to your life. You'll find some peace. You'll find some comfort. Notice something else with me. Look at Joshua 24. Let me start reading verse number 14. Said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in a book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak, and that was sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Here's what's happened. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And all the people said, the Lord's going to be our God. And Joshua took a stone, and he said, this is going to be a witness. Here's a memorial to remind you of the covenant you made that you're going to serve God. And where'd they put it? Under an oak. You know what should serve as a constant reminder to who you serve? When you get around God's people. Under the influence of God's people, you know what's going to... It's going to remind us of who we've set out to serve. There's not a home, a head of a home in here that at one time you've not said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But we don't do it. You know why? Because we get away from the influence of godly people. We get out and the world starts pulling us and everything. And see, listen, it's easy to feel like a champ when you're measuring yourself by the world's standards. You can be the most mediocre Christian and everything, but you can go out in the world and you know what? You'll look like a champion. But you know what? You measure yourself against godly people and against the Word of God, and you know what you'll find out? You're a struggler. And we all do. Listen, we all struggle, but you know what? When I can get around God's people, you know what it does? It reminds me that, hey, I've purposed in my life who I'm going to serve. You're not going to find that in the world. That's why these children got up and sung about, I will stand. Do you know why so many of God's people don't stand? Because we've forgotten who we serve. We've forgotten who our Lord is. We've got out in the world and we're letting the world pull on us, tell us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, the standards that we're supposed to keep, and we've turned our backs upon the God we serve. You know why? Because we've lost that. We've got out of the shadow of God's people. We've got away from godly influences in our life, and we've got on the influence in the world, and we've forgotten who we serve. We need to get... It's so important that we stay around God's people. Some godly people that have purposed, hey, we're going to serve God. Because it'll serve as a constant reminder to you who you serve and who you vowed to serve. As I said, well, we've all purposed that we're going to go with God. But yet so many times we fall by the wayside. And so we see under the influence of that oak, it was a reminder to whom they serve, the God that they vowed to serve. Look at Judges chapter number 6. Look at verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat on an oak which was at Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord... Verse 13. Gideon said, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Notice where he was at, verse number 11. "There came the angel of the Lord and sat under an oak." You know what Gideon found out under this oak tree? God's will for his life. Hey, he's threshing wheat. But when he got under this oak tree and that angel appeared, you know what he found out? That God was going to use him to deliver the nation. You know where you're going to find out what God desires for your life? You're not going to find it in the world. You're going to find it in the house of God under the influence of God's people. You get around some godly people and you know what happens? God will speak to you. Our problem is we want to run with the world's crowd. We want to run with people that could care less about God at all. And then we wonder why God's not dealing with us on anything. When he got around some godly influence, when he got under that oak, he found out what God wanted for his life. You know how my children, why it's so important for them to be sitting in the house of God under the influence of godly people? So God can speak to them, so they can find out what God wants for their life. And notice something else. Look at verse 19. It says, "Then Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. He put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it." You know where Gideon's serving? Under that oak. You know where you really learn what it means to serve God, an example of serving God? Under the influence of God's people. See, here's where we're missing it today. It takes more than desire to serve God. It takes somebody, you've got to learn how to do something. Listen, just because I have a desire in my heart to teach Sunday school, say I get saved, "Pastor, I got a desire in my heart to work with you and teach Sunday school." Does that make me ready? No, I don't know nothing. I mean, I don't know anything. But you know what you do? You get under the influence of some God and you learn to serve under them, under their influence, with their supervision. And see, that is what is so wrong. We think just because somebody desires to do something, well, go ahead. Go into it, and we're just hands off. And they want to be hands off. Nobody wants to be in submission to somebody telling them what they might need to do. Here's a man that he's serving God under an oak. That's where we need to serve, under the influence of godly people. That's where my children are going to learn to serve God under the influence of godly people. Notice something else. Look at 2 Samuel 18. Let me start reading verse number 9. "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of the great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw him and showed Joab and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst not thou smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said to Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not pour forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee, and Abishai and Attai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak." Now, here's what I want you to notice. That oak didn't kill Absalom. It was Joab that did that. But you know what that oak did? It subdued him. It stopped him. Hey, Absalom was an enemy of the king. But you know what the oak did? It caught him and it stopped his progress. And I started thinking how many times the devil's come after my home and my family and my life to do his harm. But you know what subdued him? You know what? Why we're not a casualty somewhere? Because it was those godly people that was willing to pray and get a hold of God, that had the ability to subdue the enemy, that was able to pray and lift my name up, and God move upon my behalf. Under that oak, the enemy was subdued. I'll give you one more. Let me just stop right there. I've said a bunch of stuff, but here's really the question I want to leave with you this morning. What country are you going to be? There's a man that says, I see men as trees. What are you going to be? You get to decide. I mean, you're going to be somebody that everybody looks to and they find comfort in, that shade, but then when the storm comes, you're not around. You know what this next generation needs? They're singing about standing. And you know what they need if they're going to be able to do that? They need to be surrounded by some mighty oaks. They need to be surrounded by some godly men and women that are rooted deep, that when the storm comes, you know what? They don't move. When problems come, they don't move. No matter what the circumstances are, they do not move. Because, see, it's under this shadow. You know what they're going to learn? They're going to learn what it means to serve God. Hey, when they see the idols that you've laid down, when they got those things in their life and they're watching you, and they're saying, hey, brother so-and-so don't do that. Brother so-and-so's not involved in that. You know what it's going to do? It's going to affect them to realize, hey, maybe I don't need to be involved in that. Hey, it's under those oaks that they're going to hear from God and find direction for their life. It's under those oaks that they're going to find protection when the devil comes after them to destroy them. You know what this church needs? It needs some men and women that's just going to say, you know what, I'm going to be the oak. I don't want to be a weeping willow. I don't want to be anything. I want to be an oak that I can influence people's lives, that they can find what they need for their spiritual growth. They can find it under my influence. What kind of influence do you have? What kind of influence do you have in your home? Did you know my children watch what I do? And by my actions, here's what I'm telling them, what's important. I mean, it doesn't matter what I say. They're watching my life. And when they see Daddy reading his Bible instead of doing something else, you know what it shows them? That's what's important. Hey, when they see Daddy say, hey, fellas, I got to go pray. When I get done, we'll try to do something. I got to pray first. You know what it does? It shows them, hey, that's important to Daddy. That's important. Not only we need it in our home, do you know my job, you know what they need? Those men, they just need something. They need some godly influence in their life. And where you work, they need godly influence. This church needs godly influence. This church, these pews need to be full of men and women who have purpose that they're going to go with God, that they're not, the storms aren't going to swim, but they're going to be here, and it's under their influence. You know what? That next generation is going to come on. The problem with Christianity today is you've got a generation coming on the scene, and they're not under oaks. They're under everything you can think of. Here's my challenge this morning. Brother Alan, if you want to come get a song, I don't even know if we need it. It's purpose you're going to be an oak. Purpose that you want to leave a godly influence on people. Your influence is either positive or negative. And there's no neutral ground. We may think, you know what, I'm not going to get involved. There's no neutrality when it comes to serving God. You're either for Him or against Him. Matthew says you're either gathering or you're scattering. There's no neutral ground. If God spoke to you this morning, you can come and pray.